Here's an interesting question. Do our politicians get too hard a time? Interesting question for this question, this programme to ask, isn't it? Peter Robinson has just stepped down, of course, as leader of the DUP, and he's been one of the biggest beasts of local politics for many years. But even he has conceded that it can be tough and it can be a brutal business. And Mr. Robinson had these words of advice for his successor.
It's a rough trade, and the further you get up that greasy pole, the more people there are who are wanting to bring you down. It's the notice I give to whoever takes over the position. Don't expect the honeymoon to last too long. You will become a target. The crosshairs will be on your back straight away. There is a nasty streak in politics with some people who feel that their job is to smear and to try and bring people down. And you're going to have to live with that. If you're a sensitive flower, then this isn't the role to be taking on.
Yeah. I'm sure David Trimble's having a little bit of a chuckle at that. Peter Robinson didn't hold back when he was having a political go at Mr. Trimble during his time. But there we go. There's Peter Robinson. You'll become a target, he says. The crosshairs will be on your back straight away. Peter Robinson's brutally honest assessment of life as a top politician in Northern Ireland. So do we give them too hard a time? Alex Kane, Malachy O'Doherty with us today. So do we, Alex?
Morning, Malachy. It's an odd thing, Stephen. Yes, Peter is absolutely right. Politics is the most brutal game in the world. And I think most people who go into it, even at the backroom level or, you know, public representative level, know that. But the interesting thing is that most of the brutality, in my experience, doesn't come from the media. It doesn't come from, you know, columnists like me and myself and Malachy and programmes like yours. Most of the real, you know, real brutality comes from inside political parties, because your enemies, the media, are not your enemy. In a very large extent, your political rivals are not your enemy. The real rivals in politics are people in your own party who want your job, who want promotion, who have been demoted, who think somehow they've been slighted or overlooked. They're the people, as you know, they're the people who do the briefing against you. They're the people who start the old smear tactics. And the other thing about that, I know you touched upon the Trimble thing, because Peter never held back when it came to attacking David Trimble and other individuals. Yeah,
the crosshairs were on David Trimble's back, and Peter Robinson was shooting at the time.
That's absolutely right. And Peter would say, I think David would accept that that's part of the course. But the other thing it's worth bearing in mind, Stephen, is brutality thing. Look at you'll know this, the attack dog stuff from the party's own press offices on other parties. That's fairly brutal stuff as well. And you've heard them. You get Gregory and some...
Or on presenters, let me tell you, sometimes the crosshairs are on my back and they're shooting.
Oh, well, Robinson has singled me out in more than one occasion for the stuff I write and stuff I say. And I'm not going to...
Well, no, he's entitled to provide a critique as much as we provide a critique of him, isn't he?
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing unusual. As a backroom boy in one party and now as a political observer and commentator, I accept that brutality is part of the game. The one thing I draw the line is never make it too personal. Personal lives, I think you should stay away from, but in terms of people of political views, the U-turns they may have made, the inconsistencies, the suspected hypocrisies, those are all fair game, and it is brutal. And Peter's absolutely right. If you are a sensitive soul, do not get involved in this game.
Are we in the media, Malachy? Are we unfair on them? Do we go too far? We're constantly questioning them, constantly putting them under pressure.
I don't know. I think sometimes we're not strong enough. I'm not criticising you on that, but I mean, Robinson, for all that he's sensitive to crosshairs and so on, I don't think he's been very often on your programme. Has he ever been on it? You know.
I think he's been on it once.
Yeah.
I think he did one interview of me over the past 11 years.
Yeah, I mean,
something like that.
Normally in the politics here, I mean, he's not really best placed to be talking about crosshairs, since he's one who deployed them so often. But he's been very, very safe within his party for 30 odd years. I mean, he was deputy to Ian Paisley and then leader of the party. And I mean, the Paisley family will tell you how they think he made his move there, you know, that he was fairly good at axing his mentor, the man whose protective wing he was under for so long. But Northern Ireland is interesting in that we do seem to like long-term leaders of parties. I mean, there have been, you know, it's been difficult for some parties in recent times. But for instance, James Mullen, who I was looking this up this morning, was leader of the Ulster Unions for 16 years. John Hume at the SDLP for 22 years. Gerry Adams is still the leader of Sinn Féin after 30 years. David Trimble, who was a short-termer, still had 10 years, which is regarded as a fairly long spell in one of the Westminster parties, and Mark Durkin, 9, and Paisley, 37 years. So for all, you know, you would not look at those figures and say, this is a really vulnerable career path to take. You know, once you are at the top, I think people like you to stay there. I think some of the political leaders, and I would say Robinson and Adams in particular, have been very good at keeping their talent at bay, which is perhaps a bad idea.
But Alex Kane, you also hit the nail on the head that sometimes the flack towards these politicians comes from within. You know, I've had senior people on to me over the years from within the DUP briefing against Robinson. So he's not just, you know, as a leader, we're talking about Peter, you could be talking about any of them here, but from his perspective, he's not having just to look outside. He's looking inside, over his shoulder, to who's trying to oust him.
That's absolutely right. It goes back to, I think it was Winston Churchill, so when he was talking about the House of Commons, he was pointing over at the Labour, says that that's your opponents, your enemies are behind you, which is quite true. I mean, when I write something, and Malachy, and you'll know this as well, Stephen, you're briefed. You know, I get stuff, you know, and I'll write somewhere, sources close to whatever, saying that's a fairly brutal attack on their party leader or senior figures in the party. Those are not made up briefings. Those are coming from people who are contacting journalists and saying, oh, do you know this? Do you know what he's doing here? See that statement that was put out yesterday? That's not completely accurate. That isn't the full story. And it goes back to my original point. You have people inside parties, Stephen, who people who go into politics generally go in because they think they're good at what they do, but they want to be ministers. They want to be senior figures. They want to be spokesmen. They want to be the media stars. And in this sort of game, it's like there is an X factor quality to it. It's just constantly having to make sure you're slightly ahead of your opponents. So they will be brutal about each other.
And then they have, of course, this new phenomenon. It's not new anymore, but it was recently, a few years ago, Twitter, social media, and the abuse that comes raining down on them, Malachy, if they happen to look at their Twitter feeds.
I know, and I mean, I get it too. We all get it. This is something that you just have to be ready for. I mean, it's just there, and some of it is brutal, and some of it is offensive and obscene. And the interesting, the challenge for me in terms of Twitter, and I'm sure for people like Robinson and others, is when do you block someone? You will get people who will come at you, and they will come at you with a fairly reasoned argument, but with a lot of violence and aggression in it, you know. And I'm inclined to stay with people like that a while, you know, but where you get the naked attack, you know, just you are and an obscenity, then I just block them. And that is the beauty of Twitter. You can silence these people and be done with them.
Before Peter had said this yesterday, Alex, I actually brought this up, that I do think that these people at the very top of political parties, they do become commodities. You sometimes stop thinking of them as individuals, don't you? And they are a commodity or a brand who you're constantly questioning. Look, I've been in the room a couple of times, Alex Kane, with Peter Robinson, and as a man that's often questioned, what's his party doing? What are they not doing? All of that. And I don't mind saying, you know, you walk into that room and his intellect, his grasp of information, his knowledge, his presence, is pretty immense, Alex.
It is. I absolutely agree.
I have no problem saying that.
Yeah, you do not get to the top in any political party anywhere without having that depth of knowledge and understanding.
And my point, Alex, is that sometimes doesn't come across when people like us are questioning what they're not doing rather than acknowledging their ability. That's all I'm saying.
That's what I'm going to touch on, because I did interviews. I mean, I've known David Trimble for 30-odd years, and I'm worked with him very closely in the party. I interviewed Peter Robinson 2 years ago for a pretty big interview with the newsletter. We spread over 2 days. And I remember talking to him. We went over a lot of depth, talked to him about a lot of the personal stuff. And I remember just after it switched off the tape, I just said to him, do you know something, Peter? If you would allow that side of your personality to emerge during interviews, if you'd allow that side, that softer, kinder, gentle, and he does have a sense of humour. He is actually a lot of very likeable qualities to him. He doesn't allow it to be shown. And I said exactly the same thing to David Trimble quite recently in an interview with him, who's always regarded as very prickly. But when you get him on the subject of Elvis Presley cooking spaghetti, opera and things like that, he's very funny. But for some reason, and it's not just these two, and you'll know this as well, Malik, you'll know this, I have talked to a lot of politicians over the years, and for some reason, they feel that somehow they shouldn't show that softer, gentler side. They think that they'll be seen as weak. And oddly enough, they think they'll be seen as weak by their own party, that somehow they diminish themselves if they show the softer side. That's why so politicians will kiss babies, but actually get them to talk about their children's O-levels or get them to talk about what they do with their children on a Saturday night, they suddenly become very reticent. It's one of those things, if it's a brutal game, sometimes you can soften. I know from my own experience as a writer that the best reaction I get to stuff, and you've interviewed me about some of it, is when I write about my personal life, my upbringing, what's happened to me. People like that side, and I think a lot of politicians should not be afraid to show the softer, gentler side.
Well, come down with me. Apparently, you're looking for candidates in Northern Ireland.
Look at me, Malachy. I can't cook.
Well, maybe Peter can.
Up to the Robinson's house.
The reality of it, Peter Robinson is that any of his problems were not made for him by within his party. They came within his family. You know, I mean, I don't want to labour stuff that's painfully open up, but I mean, he is guarded against the world instinctively, I think, and he is a tight and uptight man, and he does, as you say, he has the best brain that we've had in political life here. I think he is forensically intelligent and brilliant in that way. But he is uptight. He has got a hell of a temper. He may have been funny and genial on occasions, and he's been remembered for that. And then, you know, a week later, there's that flaring rage. And he has micromanaged his own party in a very dictatorial way. You know, the story about the resignation letters that were preserved so that he could simply pull one out of the hat and say, write your toast, because I don't like what you do. And the way in which people who've been big brains within the party, like Nigel, like Jeffrey, like Sammy and others, all kind of sidelined a wee bit, all kept back a bit, you know. And it's very, very clear for years now that his appointed successor, as clearly as Gordon Brown was the inevitable one to follow Tony Blair, Arlene Foster is the designated successor for Peter Robinson.
Interesting discussion, guys. You've got to leave it there. But thank you very much, Malachy Togarty and Alex Kane.